like to give you an image to play with while you listen. And you're also welcome to play with the indicative blocks that are already out there. So feel free to play while you listen. We encourage that. And I'll pass over to Esther.
So what we wanted to do was just sort of set the stage and by talking about what people's initial feelings are around masks. So we categorized them a little bit, but we thought that we would start with the majority, which are stupid, curious, alone, hesitant, dumb, anxious, scared, tentative, challenged, sad, confused, and yikes. Exclamation point. Okay. The other category are intrigued, curious,
here's the answer sheet.
The other category. Like, love, excited.
We had to do the math when we came in.
And
you missed it.
Love it. I like masks. And then we thought these are probably the best ones. Exact, refreshing. Always a correct answer. Math is useful, but I forgot everything past trigonometry. That's okay, we're here. What about that? And that it's certain, it's confident, and the answer. And so this is a lot of what we see, a lot of mixed grounds.
Has anybody's perspective changed as you were sitting at your table and you had the manipulative staff in front of you? You had the support of the math coaches and, you know, the ex-students and also our math instructor walking around. Did you feel like your perspective has changed on math? Did it feel like something doable?
No.
There's a couple head shaking back there. If we would have had another hour or two, maybe we could have converted, you know?
Was I supposed to say yes?
All right, if anybody's perspective did change, do you feel comfortable sharing?
She made a mistake. She wanted to say yes. It would have been a really slow. I'm with Sarah. There's so much anxiety around math that it's not, I mean, when somebody says, well, they put the three cubes out and they say, okay, now if we put three more, how many would be there? I mean, I know the answer. I'd be, oh my God, I don't know how to do that. Never mind, I quit. I mean, I would say I probably would have been able to pass math if I could have been with Adam or one of you other guys, but without you, I would have been probably like half the people that you see, that, you know, hand-wringing, crying, calling people up, saying, what are the answers? Let me just hand it in. And it's hard, you know, the other part that we had here, it's hard to see what the relevancy is of this to my life. I mean, I'm glad there's calculators. That's all I need to know.
I also had an issue just even with the directions. The directions made me freeze. Mm-hmm. Record in a table. Yeah, I used to know what that meant. Huh. What am I supposed to do? I view myself as kind of a relatively intelligent person, and this is scary, and I better back out now before somebody realizes it's scary.
I would say, maybe realizing now, I'm impatient. I want to do it. And she was telling me, you were telling me, and I'm like, I want to do it. I want to, you know. And I'm very comfortable with math, but it's also kind of like I see it as a challenge. Let me figure it out. I want to do it. But I was here very impatiently. Let me do it. And I think that's what helped me tell kids, okay, well, let's first record and make a graph. But I myself am like, no, let me just get down to the nitty gritty, you know. And so I'm impatient. I need to follow instructions more often, you know.
Anybody else? Well, I can say from experience, having sat in your shoes, taking a math class, I felt the exact same way. You know, you get my first day of math class, my instructor had me go up to the front and solve an algebra question, and I remember looking at her like, really. But having the support of, you know, these awesome math coaches really makes a difference. And we were hoping that would be the consensus. So you could see what a difference it makes to have somebody who's there who's not judging and who's just there to help.
This is my beautiful niece, and I just had to leave her up here until the last minute because she's beautiful and I love her.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to do a PowerPoint, and hopefully you haven't been all PowerPointed out already.
I'll share with you. My area of expertise is teaching English language, not in teaching math, but also we partnered with our ECE to provide content-based English lessons. And then we wrote a book because there wasn't anything on the market. It's a course book for learning English.
So, I know, right? So we're doing the speed dating PowerPoint. It is 20 minutes. It is a complicated, complex thing. Please write questions down so you won't forget them. If, like me, you have brilliant ideas, and 10 minutes later, if they're not on the paper, it's almost like they never were. We value your questions. We just want to... We want to get the flow and get this PowerPoint kind of, you know, the discrete part of the event, not the whole 2 hours.
So you do have notes to follow along. I will make a note. We have pictures on our presentation. If you do not have them on your slides, the point of that is so that you have the important words. But we will be speaking over our pictures when they do come up. So, Mastering Math, that's what we're doing here, and MASTE is our community of practice, and we'll talk a little bit about what that means. So we're going to walk you through the history of how we got to the math strategy that we're using to help support our students. So back in 2009, Phoenix Community College, our Center for Early Childhood Studies, we partnered with University of Arizona College of Education, that would be Donna Jurich, and all of these other organizations under a professional development grant that allows us to basically enhance the education of our future early childhood teachers. And PIVA's part in that is specifically looking at degree completion and getting students through that formal education that they need, and then bridging over to the University of Arizona or other colleges so that they can get to the higher degree program. Our grant, the Innovative Professional Development, the whole point of it was to identify some of the gaps that were already in the system and bridge those. So our part in this, like I said, was to really look for that formal education, the gaps there, and fill those in. So we were looking at CDA to master's. So the child development, associate. Child Development Associate Program, all the way through a master's degree as one kind of linear progression. Rather than some people are here, 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 we made it kind of one stream of education. So that's what we've been working on for many, many years. We bring national experts in and we work in collaboration with all those other agencies as well as some others who have been added to the group since then. And this was, $500,000 grant to start with? And it's really grown since then. We're very happy to have First Things First on our side in Arizona and have that money come trickling down and actually comes from a tax on cigarettes and things like that. So thank you, if you're a smoker in Arizona. So this is specifically what we do, facilitating the degree completion and that transfer over to the University of Arizona. And we call ourselves NLASE.
She's in a different position. She's presenting in the session.
Okay, because I did so clean walking back.
So, enlace means, in Spanish, it's actually a word that means to braid. And we kind of braided our program with the University of Arizona. So we're kind of all enmeshed now and working together on one goal. Enlace is also an acronym in English. It's stands for Educate, Nurture, Lead, Advocate, Communicate, and Vision. And that acronym was actually developed at one of these kind of conferences by these students. This is a group of our Pima Community College students and U of A students all wearing their Alaska t-shirts. Mm-hmm. And they created that acronym, and they also came up with that name. So it's got this dual kind of meaning going on. And we felt that it really represented what we were trying to do. More than just this and this, and we're kind of like have a relationship, we're all one undergraduate program. So some of the things we've thought about. Looking at what are some of the things we need to address when we're trying to make this connection, we're trying to make this seamless transition from one to the next. And a big part of what we found was general education seems to be a big barrier for people. The ECE classes, that's easy. CDA classes, that's easy. People like those. They want to do it. That's the fun part. The gen ed's not so much. So, if we have a problem with that transfer, it's not really an achievable thing. And that transfer blockage is those gen eds. So, the biggest thing we found in research shouldn't be a surprise, math. And that's why we've dumped a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of energy into creating a math strategy that would assist our students in getting to degree completion. And that's what we're all about. How is it a barrier? Well, this is one of our numbers. 65% of early childhood students in our program begin needing instruction in middle school mathematics levels. Some of this goes down to even elementary level math. And this is not unusual. This is not unusual for Pima Community College. If you're not aware, this is a trend across the nation. Many, many students end up in those developmental classes, and developmental math is a very common one. There's a big fear of math. As we saw in our presentation here, as you heard from our students and talking about their experiences, there's a big fear of math. So it's not just an actual skill ability. There are mental barriers there. So when we look at addressing this issue, it's not just throw math classes at them and stop. There's a lot more that goes into this, and that's why our math coaches are coaches. They don't just say, here's how you do this problem, and walk away. They sit and they work with that confidence level, and they work with really getting comfortable with the material and being able to apply it. We put these quotes in here because they really represent this issue. And we have one from 1991, from 2012. They're saying essentially the same thing, and that shows a very major trend. This is a 22-year gap. 22, right? Did I do math right? I'm a math teacher too, so. This is a huge trend, and it hasn't been addressed in any really significant way on a large scale. So this is our attempt to address it on a relatively small scale, just in our school, and hoping that some of you can take some of our ideas back or come up with some new ideas from this being a prompt for you.
That one thing is from 1990, do you think that still holds true today about women?
Yes.
Oh, you're kind of giving the opportunity. Because a lot of people say that that's just a stereotype that women are.
So,
well, that's participation, but that doesn't mean achievement, like math scores. Would it mean that? Or is it just because they're not holding positions that?
That is such an awesome question. I mean, seriously. And is it my turn?
Go ahead.
Okay. So you'll see that we were kind of intentional about the quotes that we used. If you look at our students at Pima, we have a group of students who have some specific characteristics generally, not every student, but generally we have some specific characteristics that can be attached very specifically to unlikely, right, to have good outcomes in math. That's if you're a gap gazer, right? If you look at the achievement gap and you say, what are characteristics that make it less likely you'll be successful in math? Our students have many characteristics that on paper look like it's going to be disproportionately lower likelihood of being successful. So what we decided to do was think to ourselves, how can we take these characteristics and shift a perspective that says their strengths and build on those characteristics as strengths. Build a math program. Build access to degree completion based on a really steady look at what those characteristics are and think about them as how can they help people access completion. Because I'm all about the piece of paper that says you've graduated from college. I know I should be about the quality of early childhood education. Lots of people are about that. I'm about the piece of paper that says you have graduated from college because that's what's going to make us a living wage in this profession.
We're working hard on the quality of education.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let's not downplay that. So this is that part where we have some pictures here and you have words, and this is why we've numbered our slides so that you can follow along with the numbers. And this is a group of our students. We have a few of these. And we have quotes from some of our students, so we'd like to share some of those with you.
Okay. I have a math quote here. All one needs to do is say the word math as I cringe. I don't have a math brain. You're either born with one or you're not. Students echo the assessments frequently during educational planning meetings. They also frequently express feeling powerless in their ability to be successful in mathematics. Students sometimes take the same course two or three times before successfully completing it. We began to consider what a successful mathematics course for early childhood students might look and feel like. This required careful attention to who our students are and how that would influence the structure of the math class.
So some of the relevant characteristics. We didn't want to have a program that was just getting the piece of paper, even though Shauna kind of made that clear, that is the overall goal. But we want it to be relevant to our students, and we want it to mean something to them. And I think it was Julia back there who said, when am I going to use this? I have a calculator, kind of thing. We don't want our students always feeling like that, like they're just coming to class to do the work and get the grade and move on. We want them to connect with it. So we considered who we were teaching to. We considered who our students are and what they have to contribute.
So the first characteristic that we thought about was that most of our students work full-time in the early childhood field. And often we think of that from a deficit perspective. Oh, we have to have a class at 5 o'clock, or we have to have a class on Saturday. The strength that we identify is that most of our students work in a community that requires complex problem solving on a regular basis. And so the component that we identified about in Lasse was that it would be accessible to working adults and comprised of other early childhood students. So it would be just a cohort of early childhood student learners.
And the reason this is a strength is because our students are used to working hard, working very hard. They're going to school full-time, they're working full-time, or they're going to school part-time and working full-time. A lot of them have families. They're used to juggling the complexity of life. And that's a very important skill, not only for college, but for math. So we consider that a strength.
The next characteristic was that probably our student is a woman. We have men in our program. We're excited to have men in our program. We have less than 2% of students in our college, in our early childhood program, are men. So we can pretty much say it's a dominant characteristic that a student in our program is a woman. And the strength that we identified was that she has experience working as a part of a group of women. So a cohort made up of early childhood students would have a lot of experience working in. And we really conceptualized the play of learners with opportunities for shared meaning making and that all-important reciprocal relationship element. And also the instructor was going to be a woman. The next characteristic is that probably our student is an English language learner or bilingual, and that her first language is Spanish. This is not every student, but this is enough students, so it really can be considered a characteristic of our students at our college in our community. And the strength is, of course, that she has multiple ways of communicating and has a broad array of cultural knowledge to draw on. So the component that we identified was that the math coaches were going to be available outside of class time and also during class time who were Spanish speaking.
And these are our three math coaches here, just as a reminder. here with us today. Spanish speaking right in front of you.
The next characteristic is that our student is a parent. Strength identified, going to college not just for herself, but for her family. And the component is a dedicated time for educational focus away from family responsibilities. And this is what we heard from our students who are parents. So much easier to come together, right, in a group where that's the focus, not, mom, I seem to have opened a vein and need to go to the hospital, or whatever it is. Over 40 years of age, persistence and courage in achieving goals. And the strategy component we identified is that we really wanted to connect them with resources and supports within the community to continue their education and professional development. First in her family to attend college, a leader who believes in the value of education. And the component identified was providing access to advisors for educational planning, but also to serve as a connector to college culture. You don't even know what the hoop is that you have to jump through. You know, it's not intuitive. I'm sorry, people who work in higher ed. Going to college, there's like not intuitive what the form is that you need to fill out. So that was our next characteristic.
And we like leaders, which is why Gina here went through lots and lots of paperwork and red tape to create the Early Childhood Education Club. And it has her on there as the president of that club. And that's a student-run club, student-facilitated club. And it brings in leaders. And that's what we want. So we are big advocates for leaders, creating leaders in the community and supporting leaders in our community.
Me? I can tell it?
Okay. Yes.
So we started in fall of 2010. We started with the section of Math 86, which, just to reference it, it's 7th grade pre-algebra. This is conceptualized as relationship-based. It's a cohort of early childhood students. Sequence of math courses needed for transfer. The class is held 1 week night and 1 weekend day per week. So they met on a Monday night and a Saturday morning. And advising and educational planning was a component of it with knowledgeable advisors, dare I say. Hi, I'm an advisor.
So the idea is we had a group of students, we had one teacher, the students would start in this pre-algebra class. The next semester they would all move together to the next class with the same teacher. Then they'd all move together to the next level math class with the same teacher. And that happened for 4 semesters. So this was when it started. This was the first class that started in pre-algebra. So as we mentioned before, developmental math level. This is not college level math.
I remember.
So we know looping is good for young children. Amazingly enough, what it is it's good for learning. It's groups of learners, regardless of what their age is. And so the math coaches and the instructor were with the students all the way through that 4-course sequence. And they were embedded in every course meeting so that when you were sitting in class, you had Memo, Sal, and Adam, and the instructor in the class. And then after class, Memo, Sal, and Adam knew exactly what you had been doing in the class. You didn't have to explain it to them.
That's nice.
And they offered also supplemental support and learning outside of class with, Adam was telling me, one specific one was, for instance, math anxiety. They did a sort of a mini tutorial for students based on student needs, student interests, and they were able to be very responsive because they knew the students and knew where their learning was and knew also what their learning style was.
And this is how we differentiate between tutors and our math coaches. This is that differentiation is they do more than just tell you how to do the problem and walk away. They know our students, they interact with them, and they've been with us for years. So we worked really hard in these classes. We supported our students, our coaches were available and very supportive. Our students got a lot out of it, and we had a great success about it. In that first class, that 86 class, that pre-algebra class, we had 100% who successfully completed it. That means a C or better. Because at our school, if you get lower than a C, you gotta retake it. So, C or better is successfully completed. 75% earn an A or B. And these pass rates are far and above our average and the national average. Both are right around half. So we are way over the average of pass rates there. This is Zarla Aguilar. You may recognize her from standing over there.
Or not. Really crappy pictures.
And this was the math instructor who we had teaching the cohort classes.
And I'm about to read a quote from another student. It says, "The class I selected was a special cohort I had learned about that was being piloted to support ECE students to complete math courses. I was nervous because of the prior experience, but I knew I had to take the class. Surprisingly, I was immediately comfortable with the instructor as well as with my classmates. It felt like a community from the very beginning. I was with other ECE colleagues who understood the challenges of having to complete the math courses to earn a degree. Many had had similar experiences and had to put off taking math for several years. This allowed me to drop my guard and be open to working through my fear to complete the course." This is from another student. "Math has always been difficult and intimidating. As with most people my age, I was taught math through rote methods such as memorization. I did what I needed to do and I moved on. I never really understood mathematical concepts or how they related to my everyday experiences." Sound familiar?
You might recognize these handsome devils from here in the back of the room.
So these are quotes from us and our experience with this program. And then lastly, we created bonds with one another and are successful together in a community of practice. Most of the early childhood students that we coach are people who have been out of formal education for a couple of years. Early childhood students have a wonderful grasp for the importance of the education process. They understand it takes time and dedication to be successful in mathematics. They all have taught me as much about the process as I have to them.
And these are the quotes from these coaches. And this shirt is actually kind of cute. This was a gift from our cohort. To our coaches here at the end of those four classes. It says, "Holy shit, look at the assets up on that mother function." It's kind of a, lots of math terms just thrown in there. It doesn't necessarily mean anything, but higher level math, all sorts of fun.
Let's see.
So this was 142? So this was the last class in the cohort. This is the first college-level class. This is my college algebra level. And so this was the cohort who bought them the shirts. And you see Esther in there. You may recognize her from this. And Sean, do you want to talk about this one? You like this one?
Well, I just want to share that this is what the students' perceptions were at the end of this experience, the way that we all wrote down the math makes me feel. This is how math made them feel at the end of this. It's a pretty dramatic thing. And what I really like best about it is that Kukfa, the instructor, and the two math coaches are as invested in the as the students in the experience and are writing words that speak to the value of that reciprocal relationship.
So again, the math strategy is not just about math. It's about the relationship. It's about pride and family, success, confidence, about all these different things. So, quickly through some of our numbers again, we talked about fall 2010, that math in sixth class, that pre-algebra class, we had 100% success rate there. Our cohort then moved together the next semester into Math 92, which is elementary algebra. There's an 89 success rate there. The next semester, we moved into Math 122, this is intermediate algebra, or algebra 2 in high school. We had, what was that, 75% success rate there. And then in that last class there, 142, that college algebra level, we had 89% success rate. So that's C or better. Again, above that 49%, 50% average. These are some of the things we thought about. We had a small group of students. As you saw the pictures, there were maybe somewhere around 8 students from semester to semester. We have a lot more EC students than 8. So one problem or one situation, challenge we ran into with this is we were only accommodating a very small number of our students, and we wanted to broaden this strategy out, especially after we saw the success rate. So we decided to, last spring, we had our, oh, we had Dr. Aguilar. She doesn't like to be called doctor. We had Darla, Miss Darla, teach a section of Math 86 on Saturdays, getting us that free algebra. And in her position, Shauna likes to point out, it's very unusual for a math department chair who's full-time to teach a Saturday class, especially at that level. We need to reserve them for the calculus and above the other stuff that people like me don't teach. We also took our math coaches and we asked them to be more available. So we went from, I think, 9 hours a week to like 39 hours a week of math coaching that was available to our students. We wanted to broaden those services to everyone. And this is what happened as a result. 49% of all Pima Community College students taking developmental math at our campus successfully completed. Those in the early childhood education program, 77%. So the ones who took advantage of our coaching or at least had access to it, passed at a much higher rate. In 2013, so starting in fall 2012, we did not have a dedicated class. We just had our math coaching. And we had 3 hours a night, 4 nights a week, and allowed any ECU student to come in and take advantage of their math class. And we actually also let them bring in guests. So if they were in a math class with someone who wasn't an ECU student, but that was their study buddy, they came in as well. So we let this strategy spread outside of ECE and have more of a system change. And here were the effects of that. Again, we're right at 55% overall pass rate. And again, this is comparable to national averages. And for our PCC early childhood education students, 83%. And this number is specifically the students who signed in to math coaching. So you can see that's a big jump. We're about 30% over the average just from offering this little bit of extra service. So some of our outcomes, we considered our college students, we considered their students when they go back to their preschools, and our college overall because they pay for us. And we like being paid to do things. So, some of the outcomes for our college students, success in developmental college mathematics, clearly we saw the results there. Barriers to mathematics lowered. So they came in with all these same ideas, and you heard from two of our students here that the confidence is much higher now, and that fear has diminished. They're able to incorporate the math into their teaching. They have a firmer understanding of it. They're not afraid to talk about it. They're not afraid to bring it into the classroom. And that's a big problem that we've seen, that teachers who are not comfortable with it, they just don't teach it. Or they don't teach enough of it. And then our students are a deficit as they get to the higher grades. Increased confidence and increased kind of personal results. They go home to their families because a lot of our students are parents. And now they can talk to their own children about math. So this is, again, taking this one thing and spreading it out into the community. And this is one of our students doing a presentation about magnifiers here, showing how she's applying it. Outcomes for our children, same thing. Our teachers are now going into the classroom, they're bringing math in, they're understanding it, they're excited about it, and they're not exhibiting that fear. So students don't pick up on that model fear. They are ready and excited to learn and explore. Outcomes for the college, very, very important. These are our graduation rates for the last 10 years or so. Back here on these lower ones, we didn't have the early childhood, the program manager, the coordinator. We didn't have anybody in these roles. We didn't have math supports. We didn't really have the extra grant money coming in. This is where Ms. Shauna started. And you can see from the time she started, we've been skyrocketing every single year with our graduation. And we can't say it's just math. We also offering advising and other educational planning services. But this is what we're doing. We're trying to accommodate our students on every level. So those are some of the outcomes just in writing. And one of the big ones, of course, is the Title I. Continued grant funding. We need that to keep doing this stuff and keep paying people to do it. Some of the lessons we've learned, some of the outcomes for us in moving forward. We definitely built our strategies on the characteristics of the students. That's developmentally appropriate. And and I think that's missing from a lot of other kinds of programs. And those benefits spread out. They spread out into the classrooms, they spread into the home, and they spread into other classes. So because we're early childhood, but we're doing math, like I said, our early childhood math students are bringing their math friends in and getting them support and getting them excited. Math coaching, math coaching, math coaching. We love our math coaches, which is why we brought them out here with us. They are really the core of all this, and without them, we would not have the successes that we have. So we highly value them and the specializations that they bring. And if you look on your papers, you'll see what all their backgrounds are. A little varied, and they each bring a different strengths to our students. And some of you got to work with them on math activities. So some of these might seem familiar. Again, this isn't just about math. This is about really aligning what we do with early childhood education and with what's going on in the field. So we work in a community that requires complex problem solving. If you remember, that's one of the characteristics of our students, the ability to do the complex problem solving. That's a critical thinking thing. Multiple ways of communicating, that goes back to we have a lot of bilingual students, and that's communication. Going to college not just for themselves, but for their families, that was another characteristic. That gives us perspective taking. Persistence and courage in achieving goals. Taking on challenges, focus and self-control, that was a lot of them being the first one to go to college. Leaders, we love leaders. Self-directed, engaged learning. Does anyone recognize these categories here? The critical thinking, communication, perspective taking, taking on challenges, self-directed learning. Ellen Galinsky. And the last one is making connections. So, these skills are frequently cited in the field and frequently utilized in curriculum and incorporated in. And we do the same thing. It's not just about math, it's about all these relationships and hitting everything that our students need and that their students need. So we are not done. Although our cohort has run its course and although we've been providing different different math coaching, we are not done. This is a continuing effort for us. We're learning as we go. And we already have our fall and spring set up for next year, and we're looking to improve it every year to support our students. We'd like to direct you to a strategy mapping exercise. And what we're gonna do with this is really about how did this come about? What did we have to do logistically to make this happen? Because what we'd like to do is to encourage you all to come up with strategies to support your students, especially regarding math and degree completion. So we came up with a strategy map from our process and from how we got to where we are. And I'll pass over to Austin.
So you've heard a lot about a specific activity that's taken place. And you've heard that part of what made this all possible was just, you know, that famous G word, which is we got a grant. And the grant certainly helped us fund this activity. But if you get a G word like grant, then you have the S word, which is sustainability. And you need to be able, we think this is so powerful for us, and speaking from my role at the university, to be able to have more students being successful at the community college and then entering into the university with a very positive approach to mathematics specifically is really, really critical. So there's a lot of backseat to this. We're seeing something really successful, but underneath your sign, this the Wellman sign, you'll see what we call a resource map, which, if you look at the size of lines, probably looks like another language to you, or it's not going to be fully explainable. So what we did was some, what is called community resource mapping. You may already do this as you begin to go ahead on projects. But community resource mapping, as you know, is to look at and to think about what resources, but the way we think about it is beyond the resource of funding. That resources are relationships, they're structures that are in place, there are organizations, there are people, and those are the parts that I think we sometimes actually don't think of as resources. We tend to think of it as that money, but they're very critical, especially in the sustainability piece. And to give you an idea of this, we're gonna look, okay. If you look at the sheet on the right-hand side in the upper corner, you see that it says Pima County School Superintendent. And you see a line that comes down from that, and it goes to the Early Childhood Advisory Committee. So Pima Community College has an Early Childhood Advisory Committee. The Pima County School Superintendent serves on that committee, and as a result, has some influence on Pima Community College, also through her relationship with deans and associate deans. So that was a relationship, because the Pima County School Superintendent, also her background is in early childhood. So to use that other word that I hate to use, we could leverage that. So here was Roland, who understands early childhood education. So through strategic planning, we put her on the advisory committee. The advisory committee then is talking to the dean, who has no background in early childhood education, and is able to say, you know what, this is very important. These things are important. So that is a definite resource. Having that person, the Pima County School Superintendent, who is an early childhood, she was a resource, and she is, in a sense, a free, well, no one's ever free, but she is a resource for us that we then put, or I should say, a team that they put into play, which was really helpful. The other was that, so if you move from Pima Community College, there's an arrow going to the left, where the Pima Community College Center for Early Childhood Studies. Then you go up and you'll see that there's an AAS, an AAECE, and we have been working diligently and very intentionally and through many months. And we all, if anyone knows, anybody from higher ed, there's here, or community college, is here, articulation agreements. We all have them right and they mean nothing, right? You know, because if you're like university, or if you're like early childhood and you look in an articulation agreement on the web, it makes very little sense to me, and I'm the administrator, to our students make something like that. So we worked very intentionally to make that articulation agreement very strong. So for example, being able to say on our end of university end, we said we would accept these particular two math courses. You complete them, you get the AAECE, you come right on over. Come on down, and there are no additional requirements. So we have taken something that exists, a structure that exists, and again, with hours of work, we have it now working for us. Rather than being something that is just sitting there, it is now working in a very specific way to support the students in the program. So the blue lines show these relationships. The green lines actually show different ways in which we have leveraged funding through the grant.
Green for money, right?
Green, yes. Yeah. So what we thought on the white sheet, that or the beige sheet, green sheet, in terms of thinking about community resources, mapping, and this is where we're hoping to bridge for you from our work to your work. And so the first thing you do with community resource mapping is you think about what do you want to envision. Do you want to envision, for example, very specifically early on in the grant, we worked with what are issues coming up, what is slowing down the process of moving from a two-year institution to a four-year institution. And math was definitely one of the things slowing it down. So our vision was we want to create support for students to continue to move forward in their program of study by completing math requirements. So think of your vision. And then this is an opportunity, and you can look at all the things that were part of our resources. So the question for you is, what funding resources exist, what relationships exist, what policies exist, what structures, people, groups, individuals, you know, the regional superintendent, the advisory board, are there other agencies, institutions? So those are, you know, the resources. And it's important to think about how all these resources interact. So if you pull in one part, so for example, Pima College connected up with me and the College of Education.
Tell the story, Doug.
Much more powerful way. So the story is that I had been in my job like 6 weeks, and I had been told that early childhood education was a small part of my job. Mm-hmm. And I went to a conference, and Shauna came up to me and said, "What are you going to sign the articulation agreement?" Like, "Hi, my name's Donna. Nice to meet you." And but it has been through that nudging back and forth, you know, and it is all about relationships. So what we'd like you to do is take a moment, think about it. If this sounds like, if math is why you're here, then think about if you were going to do this chart on yourself and or your organization, institution, what are your resources? What are they? Thinking broadly, expand your idea of community. We're going to give you how much time to do that?
Oh, at least 4 seconds.
Yeah.
8 minutes.
We're going to give you 8 minutes.
So it's really an invitation to start an inventory and start a thought process.
So for linear, for text people, there's a sheet. And for graph, for people, visual people, there's a chart.
Great. It feels like reading
on later. And feel free to talk at your table and brainstorm ideas.
Flyers that announced ECE tutoring all over campus. We hand them out to students everywhere. And so they feel very comfortable coming to these tutors because they're their special tutors. You know? Ooh, those are ECE tutors. They're not regular tutors. And like these guys say, a lot of the teachers, if there's something we teach that's a little crazy, like me, because I teach the Natural Elementary School Teachers course, I go in there and I talk to them. Okay, do you know how to do this? I'm going to give you these hints for the day. And we do that as teachers because we know that they are doing that.
And I want to take this opportunity to reemphasize that these coaches have been in the classrooms. They've been in the math for elementary school teachers, so they know the content, whereas a general math tutor might just say, oh, here's the problem, here's how I would do it. And it doesn't coincide with how it's taught. They don't know how to use the manipulative setting. Mm. Our guys have been in there. They know how it's taught. They know how our tutors
are. So you suggest when you're building up this program that the tutors that you are hiring should already know kind of what's going on.
Go to your math department chair. The math department chair knows who.
Well, and a lot of times we use tutors from the classes. After they are through the 146, 140, our math for elementary school teachers course, those are great people to have as your tutors because they've gone through it. They understand it. They know how to do it. So you're looking for people like that.
I'm actually going to give Veronica a turn because you had your hand up. If you can remember, it was 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
If you didn't write it down.
But one of the things is, I mean, you guys, in a sense, the fact of even just getting the students in the door. I work for a research and referral agency in Santa Monica, and we work with a lot of early educators, preschool teachers, family child care providers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, they've taken decades and decades and tons of ECE, but it's the math that kind of holds
unmatriculated lateral spread of early childhood credit.
Yes.
I am very familiar with this.
Yes, they're ready to go. But a lot of them say, well, I took the assessment test, or I took the class, but it's not valid for within like 3 or 4 years or 2 years sometimes. If they haven't taken it within 2 years, then they're afraid of going back and having to take the assessment test.
So can I take
what
that?
Is your guys'
can I take that answer? So I mentioned that I'm an early childhood education program advisor. I spend very little time talking about early childhood, and I spend a great deal of time talking about mathematics and talking about the assessment. And one of the important pieces is the relationship doesn't start when they walk into the classroom. The relationship starts when my number is on the website and when they call somebody to talk about their feelings about a deficit in math knowledge or nervousness about the Compass test or whatever it is, it's me on the other end of the phone. And I'm an early childhood educator who works at a community college. And I spent 16 years getting my undergraduate degree working full time. I speak early childhood and I have credibility. It's that relationship that gets them in the door. It's all about relationships.
But what about, what is your year term?
My shtick?
No. I'm asking the year with you guys. Like if it's, let's say there's a drop off, maybe one or two people weren't able to go on. How valid would that class be for them to, life happens. People, you know,
sure.
Work, or is
sure.
It good for 1 year, 2 years?
Sure. So math, like milk, has an expiration date. And so it has a 3-year expiration date. And there's actually a reason for that. It has to do with we forget math. So English is forever, reading is forever, math is like milk, and it has an expiration date. And so yes, I often am in the enviable position of getting to convince you to go take a test you didn't want to take 4 years ago when you took it, and now I get to tell you you get
so
to take it again.
Very much relationship-based. And I'm in a very similar role as yours, but that's
good.
And we also encourage students who need to retake that assessment to come talk to our coaches to prep for it. So we utilize them for more than just you're taking a class now.
I think our site has a prep test.
I'm not ignoring you, Samantha. I thought I saw a hand over here, but it's gone down. So it's your turn.
My question is, I was talking to Donna, and I told her, what if you scored low in math, and but you wanted to come into your school to get the early childhood in math classes? What do you have to do to get back up to that level? Do you need to start taking like the basic math?
Yeah.
Build yourself on
you
the
math skills to get back in there?
And absolutely. It's really about how the colleges structure it. We actually have a basic math class where you can't really score lower than that. You either score into that or higher.
Right.
So if you score at the lowest level you can possibly score on the assessment, you can still take that class. And recently they dropped it off and they're like bringing it back, and you know, that's the college stuff.
The shifting winds of politics. Yes. Bottom line is you can only take the math course that we know will benefit you.
Right.
You know, we don't want you accidentally signing up for a trigonometry course when really what you need to work on is your subitizing. See, I use that word. Okay.
So for the next part of our strategy, the class that we have actually covers that very basic one all the way up. So it's impossible.
Yeah, come back next year. We'll have this awesome thing.
Am I wrong in saying that if you do score low, that you can go to the tutoring center and come back and retake the assessment and then score into a higher class? Okay.
Any more questions from the parking lot?
Oh, you.
Yeah, I know. We have to read them. I can't read them.
Diana, parking lot.
I was curious that any special coaching that the tutors needed that kind of helped them really prep for this specific skill set that the early childhood educators have.
Interestingly enough, there was one class that none of us were familiar with, and what we did was like we voluntarily went in there and sat in classes for, well, basically we took the book. That's the first thing we did. We took the book, we looked at it, we followed kind of the syllabus of what they would be learning, and then when we hit that moment that we hit a wall, we would go sit in that class and physically watch what the teacher did. That way we kind of got some strategies with that, but a lot of the stuff has been...
Because you seem really unique among tutors in that...
Well, it's been 3 years.
You're curious to learn more.
It's the time. It's really the time.
So we have time for one more question, and then we're going to ask you, before you leave, please fill out the evaluation.
Perfect.
We're hoping you're going to stay for our last activity, which is a give one, get one. Really fun, but if you don't, please at least say please for the evaluation. Can you say grant funder? Thank you. Okay, so last parking lot question was?
I got it.
Scott, your answer.
Mine was more about what training and supports you provide the coaches. You sort of mentioned
they're here right now.
Yeah.
If we were doing this today and I couldn't hire these guys, I would do a lot more training with them. We just kind of got lucky. See, I said, oh, these guys would be good, and then they said, oh, this one would be good.
It's not lucky. I mean, I think very carefully. I mean,
yep.
Darla knew the tutors. And
we went to Darla.
You don't know your tutors. You want to work with someone. The resource is the person who knows the tutors.
Right.
Because you need to know them. So
and
they're not
luck.
Well, if
we have this discussion about luck.
But the thing of it, the one thing it is, if you need tutors who are really patient, you know, that's the most important thing. You can teach them everything else, but you can't teach them patience.
And if I could just end this, because I think it's a really good question. I think what Diana Hill over in the back is getting at too. One of the things that we're being very intentional about next year is saying, hey, we're not going to call these people tutors anymore. We are going to call these people math coaches. And that gives us information about what professional development they need. They need to tie in to the national experts that are coming to our community. And when we're sending our early childhood students to see Ellen Galinsky, our math coaches need to be going to see Ellen Galinsky. So the answer is, it's an evolving strategy, and it's we're learning as we go along. And I'm just darn proud to be able to work with this whole strategy.
Okay, the next thing we want you to do is on your table there is a
transition.
Yes. So what we want you to do real quick is write three things you learned in one of the nine boxes that are on here. Okay? Don't think too hard, just write something. Ooh, I learned this.
Just one box, right?
One in each box.
Oh, one in each box.
The first row.
Yeah, you can pick whichever box you want. If you want to be creative, be creative. Math people say the first row.
Yes.